One, two, three.
Prepare yourself. It's that time of the day. The Mighty 1090 Primetime Crossover.
Hey, come on. What could happen?
Aaron Smith.
I admit it. I complain about everything in life.
Scott and BR.
Scott and BR suck.
Terrible.
The Mighty 1090 Primetime Crossover.
All right, 252 San Diego Sports Leader. It is the Mighty 1090. It is always so great to see the coach, John Quintero, for a variety of reasons. Number one, he and I, we don't cross paths as much as we used to because, you know, I'm working days. He comes in a little bit later. Then during the baseball season, he's sometimes downtown. I'm sometimes up here. So, you know, we used to see each other a lot more when we were passing the baton back and forth with pregames, et cetera. It's also good to see the coach, John Quintero, because he always comes dressed so vibrantly. This is such a vibrant outfit today, coach.
Yeah, colorful. Colorful. What a beautiful day out there, huh?
What'd you do today? Did you get a chance to get out and enjoy? I feel like one of those animals cooped up in the house.
No, I actually had a breakfast meeting with a group of gentlemen, and that lasted a little bit longer than I anticipated. So I hustled home, just worked on the show, picked up my granddaughter at school. She's got a big soccer game tonight. And brought her over to our house and continued to work and got cleaned up and threw on this nice flowered shirt and headed on down.
That's it. I'm sure you're rocking a pair of shorts as well.
Of course. Got the plaid shorts on.
You're rocking the flip-flops?
No, I got the nice slip-ons today.
There you go. Why wouldn't you? Why wouldn't you on a day like today?
My one left big toe is just not very good.
What's the problem there? Turf toe?
Back in 1988-89, I was coaching basketball at Torrey Pines, and a guy by the name of Kevin Flanagan, a big 6'9 center who went over to play for Lute Olson at Arizona, stepped on me when we were training down in Fort Myers, Florida during a tournament, and that toenail never quite came back. And for fans out there that can they hear the name Flanagan, his wife is Alex Flanagan from the NFL Network.
Is that right?
Yeah. They met it when Kevin was playing at Arizona.
What a small, because she's an Arizona Wildcat as well.
Yeah, great lady, very nice lady.
And so you still have this lingering pain to this day.
I don't know if it's pain. That nail, that's been dead a long time ago, Darren. I should probably have it taken off. It's pretty ugly.
Huh. All right. Well, Coach, we got the Aztecs in action a little later on tonight.
Yeah, going to be a tough one. This Colorado State team, they play outstanding basketball. You go back to when they shot the lights out against the Aztecs at Moby Arena for their first meeting this year. They went 12-21 from behind the arc. And J.J. Avila, their big inside guy, who's real tough. He had 29 points in that ball game. But then, of course, the Aztecs returned the favor next time they came to Viejas Arena. This is going to be a great basketball game. And, you know, I think Colorado State is probably in. Mm-hmm. But Larry Eustace, who's their head coach, who's a heck of a coach, by the way, and I know Coach Fisher has a tremendous amount of respect for him because we've talked about him on Coach's show as well as off the air. He'll have his team ready because I think he's probably telling them, hey, you guys win tonight, we're definitely in. They're not taking anything for granted. The Aztecs are in. I mean, if they get beat tonight, they're still in the NCAA tournament. And, you know, I was thinking about this last night during a little bit. I got home after we had our big banquet down at the Hall of Champions for Lolita Student Athletes of the Week. I got home and watched a little bit of that Stanford-Utah game. Utah is playing great basketball right now.
Which is good for state.
Exactly. That's exactly what I was thinking when I was watching. I mean, they're ranked 17th in the country right now. They're playing great ball. And I know it was early in the year, but nonetheless, you can't take that off the Aztecs' resume.
Them, I was, and that's part of the reason we talked about this earlier, you know, as loathsome as it may seem for some fans out there, if BYU were to pick off Gonzaga again in the West Coast Conference Championship, as loathsome as it might be, as tough as and counterintuitive as it might be, it actually would have been beneficial for state if BYU wins that game because they were on the schedule earlier this year.
Yeah, that's a very good point. And, you know, I think BYU's definitely in. I mean, St. Mary, oh, yeah. I would be surprised if they didn't get in. I mean, they're a good basketball team. I think when they beat Gonzaga, that definitely, you know, in that last regular season game that they played them up at McCarthy Athletic Center, I think that got them in the tournament. They're a dangerous team because they can get up and down the floor and they can score a lot of points.
Yeah, you know, the point with Avila tonight, it sounds like he's going to play, right? I mean, I saw one of their reporters on Twitter suggest he said afterwards, you'd have to cut my foot off for me not to play against San Diego State. So you presume him, whatever, to play a little later on tonight. But, you know, if for whatever reason, let's just say he can't go and that's a little bit worse, you do wonder, selection committee does look at that sort of stuff.
Yes, they do.
If you've had a team-changing injury, they sometimes, as unfair as it might seem, they can say, you know, listen, it's like Kenyon Martin when he got
broke his leg.
Yeah, like we just don't know that your team is going to be as good without this player. So maybe it's better off that we put somebody else in who could be more competitive.
Oh, that's a really, really good point. And believe me,
I don't know that that's the case with him.
No, we'll see tonight. But I also think that Coach Fisher, he loves to double down. I mean, that's his whole deal. That ball goes down to the low post. They're going to double down. They're going to make Colorado State beat them from the perimeter. And if you recall in that first matchup in the home arena for Colorado State, they came out and they were just lighting it up. They were up by 17 points at one point in that first half. And, I mean, they were hitting everything they threw up. And then they were able to get the ball in later in the ball game to Avila, and he just went crazy. But I think Coach Fisher tonight, if Avila is in there, he'll double down. He'll try to take him out of the game the best they can and force him to shoot from long range.
What's coming up on the big show today, Coach?
Oh, we got a little bit of everything. We're going to talk with David Velasquez, assistant basketball coach, San Diego State. He's going to join us. He's a great guy. And, you know, we'll kind of take a look at last night's ball game. And, boy, did you see the court, by the way?
I did.
Are they putting down stickers, or is that a totally different floor just for the Mountain West Conference?
I thought it was a different floor.
I'm going to ask.
But I might be wrong about
it. Well, they can put those stickers down, but that wasn't a great look on TV, by the way.
No. How about the head coach of the team calling the Mountain West Conference officials and saying, hey, be on the lookout for flagrant fouls because they got away with it last time. We don't want them getting away with it again.
That's a very good point. No question about that one.
Love it.
Also, Jay Paris going to stop by today.
I know him.
Yeah, he's right out this door that we're in the room we're in.
He brought Rod Laver into the studio.
Rod Laver, isn't he great?
Yeah.
Big Charger fan.
Yeah.
He's always out in the parking lot tailgating prior to a Charger home game.
Is that right?
Yeah, he walks around in his Charger jersey, and there's a group of guys. They have a nice little barbecue out there about 3 hours before game time. Rod Laver's always there, believe it or not.
I mean, awesome.
Here's a guy that wins, what, 19 majors or Grand Slams? And he's walking around with his Charger jersey in the Charger parking lot. It's beautiful.
That is great.
So Jay will come in. We're going to talk a little bit about the stadium issue as well as NFL free agency. Elliot Harrison from the NFL Network is going to join me today. And then we'll talk a little baseball in the 5 o'clock hour with Scott Miller, national baseball writer for Bleacher Report. So we've got an action-packed show today. Very much looking forward to it. And it's going to be a great weekend. And, you know, it was interesting, Darren. Yesterday I had Tony Montalatos on, the spokesperson for the CSAG group, and we were talking about, you know, the Mission Valley site, and, you know, I was talking to him, sooner or later, you're going to have to get a new arena in this town as well. If you want to be a big-time sports community, you got to have a brand-new state-of-the-art arena, and he said that Jim Steig, when they were doing, I guess, all the due diligence on where to put the stadium and that, Jim Steig's comment, and I haven't talked to Jim about this, but Tony said it yesterday, that Jim Steig thinks an arena should be the one that goes downtown.
Hmm. Where the proposed stadium is, or just find a chunk of land?
We didn't get to that point, just find a chunk of land, but that would be fantastic if you were able to put an arena downtown, I would think.
How big of an arena?
I don't know. I think if you're going to build it 25,000.
Is there enough usage for an arena?
I think you got to start, if you want to build an arena, you got to start going around. There has to be somebody from the city sniffing around the NBA and sniffing around the NHL about, you know, is there any teams that are looking to relocate?
Because that won't get you Final Fours. Final Fours are only held in
right.
like 80,000 person.
Well, the only way you're going to get a Final Four in this town is if they build that stadium and they put a retractable roof on top of it, and then you could get a Final Four.
Right, but they already kind of ruled that out yesterday. Adam Day ruled that out. He said we're going to save money by not having a retractable roof.
Well, they're already saving $250 million from what we understand.
And that was part of it. He said we'll save money by not having a retractable roof, so that disqualifies the idea of Final Four.
Well,
so
that also limits some of the events you can go after too.
Right, but that'd be interesting if you plan on building an arena downtown, because you'd like to have some tenants.
Well, you can't build the arena unless you know you can bring in some tenants.
Are you building it for a minor league hockey team?
That's a possibility.
And there's enough dates on the calendar and enough. I know a lot of people showed up for FanFest, 8,500 people.
I would certainly think the convention center could use that arena from time to time for different events. Huh?
Sure. Yeah. Okay. So you get the idea of downtown with the convention center. Boy, can you imagine after all that, after all the perceived belly aching about non-contiguous, and then you go downtown with a non-contiguous convention center, just no stadium?
Wouldn't it be great to really, do it right and be a big-time sports community? I mean, I look at Arizona. Darren, you spend a lot of time over in Arizona. You know what it's like over there. They got an event to go to just about every night.
Mm-hmm. It's good for the talk show hosts.
It's great for the talk show host.
There's plenty to talk about.
No, and, you know, realistically, you're not going to be able to build an arena unless you know that you can bring in a team. And a team's not coming unless you have an arena. So, you know, you got to figure that one out. But, you know, some of these cities, they have people that go out and recruit teams to their city. And there's nothing wrong with that. If you think that you can be a viable big-time sports town, you go out there, you talk to maybe some of the teams in the NBA that are struggling that, you know, would be interested in relocating. You talk to some NHL teams. Now the sports arena, the Valley View Casino Center, has the Ducks. I'm sure they're excited about playing down here because their farm team, you know, is right down the freeway from their big league team. But again, they packed that arena, and, you know, in the old days, they used to pack that arena 10, 14,000 fans many years ago. And I'm not talking about the last group of Gulls. I'm talking about the original Gulls in the late 60s, the 66, 67 season. And they were here for about 4 or 5 years, and they used to pack that place every night. Now, I realize it's a different time, a different financial setting maybe for a lot of people, but if you want to be a big time sports town, you got to have somebody in your community that's out looking and trying to recruit teams to come here.
I think the Mission Valley idea, you know, the whole concept of building that property not just for a football facility, but also they had mentioned residential, commercial, real estate going into the same property, which is obviously going to alter the landscape of tailgating and the parking situation, etc., which, you know, people, some will understand, some people I'm sure will crow about. But as we talked about yesterday with Adam Day, and I think it bears watching, is it's zoned for football. It's zoned for a stadium.
Right.
It's not zoned for any of that other stuff. And since the time when the Chargers proposed that site with commercial, with residential, and I only bring this up as a former Mission Valley, I only spent a year there, so it's not like I understand the complete lay of the land, but they built up a lot more residential. And I don't, is more a good thing? Is more what the people of Mission Valley would want? More residential and more commercial? Like, is that good for Mission Valley? Or are they happy with all the residential and some of the commercial stuff going to the rock quarry? I don't know the answer to that. Maybe they just say, hey, the more the merrier. We're big. We're thriving. This is great. Let's get more retail in here. Let's get more residential. There's demand for it. Not everybody can fit into these other residential properties. Or do they look around and they go, wow, we can barely drive through these streets anyway because Mission Valley really wasn't built for this. You know, I certainly think that that is an interesting part of the process.
Well, I think yesterday was a great first step, but that's the first step, and that's as furthest we've come in, you know, 13 and a half years. At least they determined where they'd like to build a proposed stadium. There's still so many things to figure out.
Oh, yeah.
But with that being said, that's probably the most likely site, and I thought that right from the get-go, because now if you're talking about downtown, you know, they've talked about the MTS bus yard. It'd take 5 to 7 years to relocate that. It would cost somewhere in the neighborhood of $150 million to do that. I mean, at the earliest, at the absolutely earliest, would probably be 2020 or maybe 2022. If you can get things rolling here right now on a Mission Valley stadium, we might be playing in a new stadium by 2020.
That's
a possibility.
Yep. Well, Coach, have a good show. Have a good weekend.
All right, Darren, thanks.
We're San Diego's home team.